Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, Yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So after another frustrating Masters weekend, we've pondered a lot on the show. The trade deadline's come up. Which small television the Astros will be on has come up. If Dusty Baker not being here is the reason to blame for the Astros struggles and Maldi. What do you got for me that will make you feel or make the people feel better about the Astros? Give them some optimism. I'll start with Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, pretty good on Friday night. That felt nice. He told the players to get their head out of their asses. They listened for a day. So now just every 5 days, Justin Verlander has to give a speech and they'll be okay.
I only got one thing. It's April 22nd. It's really all I got.
Earth Day.
Is it Earth Day?
Yeah. April 22nd is Earth Day every year.
I wouldn't have known. I
learned something new every day.
Hippie Sean behind the glass.
What are you doing to celebrate Earth Day today, Sean?
Do you walk to work today?
Well, I'm going to have to fill up my car.
I'm going to recycle some beers.
I'm going to have to go buy a tank of gas.
You only know it's Earth Day because tomorrow's your birthday.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk to work.
On my little calendar, there's two little dots. One from the 22nd, one on the 23rd.
Oh, here we go. Here's the rotation real quick for the Astros series. Tomorrow versus the Cubs. J.P. France will be on the mound tomorrow. Spencer Arrighetti will pitch on Wednesday. And then Justin Verlander will pitch on Thursday.
I suppose a positive is they can't possibly be more injured, but then Christian Javier got put on the IL with a neck injury. So again, there's another one I'm really reaching here. They're getting hits, right?
Lots of them.
And the most in the majors. Less runs.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly less runs. That should get better, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't even want to put on the Minister of Positivity hat right now. I got nothing.
It's so funny, like the way we feel. Yeah, Minister of Positivity's got to go for now.
No, he's gone today. He'll be back again. But okay. What does it really take? Can we get more than one win in a row?
Yeah, like, is it
maybe four?
Yeah, back to five, like back to within like 2 games of 500.
How about within 5 games of 500? They're 9 under right now.
I was thinking three game win streak because they still have not done that.
Yeah, win two series in a row.
Win the remainder of this road trip.
Back to back series wins.
Yeah, back to back series wins would make me feel better.
They are positive. They're 3-4 in series. They've just been swept in some of those series.
Mm. Wait, really? They're 3-4 in series?
They're 3-4 because they got swept by the Yankees.
That is shocking to me.
they beat the Rangers once, split with them the other time. So there you go.
Okay. Vegas?
Yeah.
Still believes a little bit.
Oh.
The Houston Astros still have the fifth best odds to win the World Series in 2024. And their odds are still better than the Texas Rangers. I guess they're plus. The Astros are plus 1,100. The Rangers are plus 1,200.
That's because they're dealing with the cold, hard numbers of a lot of season left. Yep. They don't know the vibes. How the vibes are low.
The Astros are still second in odds to win the American League, and even though they're ahead of the Rangers in both of those, they are behind the Rangers to win the division.
Okay,
thus, spitting in the face of what I said earlier.
Literally the opposite. Vegas is like this.
Joe guy's an idiot.
Vegas seems higher on the Astros in all things except for what you're high on the Astros for.
Yep.
Hey, the positive that the A's are ahead of them in the AL West, they'll be easy to overtake.
That's true.
Right?
Theoretically.
Won't be in last place forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're worse than the A's.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
No way you're worse than the Angels.
That one, yes.
Finish in third place at worst.
A lot of season left.
If that's again, it's April 22nd.
8-2. I am positive that ticket prices should be less next year.
At the very least, this year. Roll back the prices of certain things you can get at the stadium.
That's what's tough. Is like it's going to be cheaper to get in, but it's still going to cost you an arm and a leg to get anything while you're there.
Positive. Don't even go to the game. Just go to the highway cantina.
Great call. You can't get chicken fajitas like that at the game.
You can get the large margarita. Yeah, drown all of the sorrows of disappointment in your Houston Astros.
My wife got really mad at me about that.
She got mad at you for not bringing her to work.
Well, yeah. She just told me I have to take her the next time we go to a game, which is not on my priority list.
But you didn't go to a game though. You know, you did a radio show from there.
That's true.
What is she mad about?
I guess she was jealous more than anything.
Because
I never invite her to the fun stuff. She says,
"You should find someone on LinkedIn and take them."
Yeah. Yeah, if things don't work out, LinkedIn's not exactly going to be my go-to.
You know what? Maybe
let it work for you once.
Maybe the Astros should start sliding into the DMs of players who have their LinkedIn profiles up, like professional baseball player for Arizona Diamondbacks. Brent Strom, slide into his DMs, you know?
Hey, Brent, I hope, come back? I hope Jose Abreu is updated.
I think Jose Abreu might have made his account private.
Is the Astros' Twitter account still blocking people? That's what I was trying to figure out.
I don't know. They haven't blocked me yet because I made fun of their It's giving disaster.
Well, at this point, like their mentions are just, I'd imagine, brutal.
The LinkedIn girl taught me some Gen Z slang. So now I actually don't hate It's Giving anymore.
Time out. Let's revisit.
Yeah.
She's a Gen Zer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
No, now I'm even more surprised that the LinkedIn move worked. I assumed she was at least close to your age.
I don't know that. Because a man never asks a woman what her age is. Come on.
Was she old enough to buy her own alcohol?
She got ID'd. What? What's wrong with that?
You didn't like sneak a peek?
No.
I'm just curious.
Not at her age. He definitely did sneak a peek at her driver's license.
No, I didn't sneak a peek at anything. Like,
does this start with the... Does it start with 19 or 20?
Yeah.
Hey.
How would you feel if she was like, what year were she was like?
2001.
Post 9/11.
That would blow my mind. But she's right. Pre 9/11. I do know that.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we know that?
Yeah, I do know that.
Okay.
Do know that.
Okay.
Wait, what year? Since you have her LinkedIn information, what year did she graduate college?
No comment.
Okay, so how much did you like? Did you ask a lot of follow-ups because you looked at her LinkedIn profile? Like
I asked no follow-up.
It was like a cheat sheet.
I didn't.
But like, you knew where she went to school. Like you knew what she studied. You knew what she did.
She could do
work.
The same with me too.
So how about those Aggies, huh?
Yeah. Like it's just like you really like
whatever the case. To bring it back to where we were before,
like, I feel like you kind of chance to skip a lot of steps on your date.
I'm gonna start saying it's giving all the time.
Please don't.
No, I'm gonna do it. I actually she explained it to me and now it makes sense.
All right, your turn now.
Now it makes sense
because I don't understand. Let's play telephone.
It's giving. This is the worst start since 2016.
Okay.
See, that's how you do it.
Okay, that makes sense. I understand.
It's giving how Kim really Kardashian is feeling after Taylor Swift's new album.
Mm. She got roasted.
She did. She got flamed.
Yeah.
She's a musical genius, Taylor Swift. I respect women.
It really helps when you do it when you add like the little voice with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
I really don't want you to start saying it's giving all the time, but you know what? At this point, whatever.
It's giving. We may as well say this because things can't possibly get any worse.
You said that about the injuries too, and I'm like, I don't know.
that's what I mean, man. That's where we're at.
I keep thinking, but speaking of injuries, let's hear from. Maybe this will make you feel
better. Giving nothing matters anymore.
Maybe this will make you feel better about Christian Javier. Here's Joe Espada.
Giving seppuku.
Here's Joe Espada talking about Christian Javier's neck injury.
So we'll see. This kind of just came out of nowhere, so we're going to see what happened here. But we are see how he progressed, but we're going to put him on the IL since he's got to obviously work through this, and we're going to need a starter in Chicago. So we're going to get Spencer Arrighetti to come up and take his spot.
So do you know how it came up, like what the cause was here, cropped up?
No, we don't know. You know, could have been on the plane, could have been slept badly. We just don't know. So the most important thing is trying to get Javier feeling better.
I love baseball.
He just
injuries.
Slept bad, man.
Do you think? Do you know what it could have been? Do you ever wear those little neck pillows on the plane?
No, I think they're uncomfortable.
Oh, I got one. I found this at like Brooks Brothers. It's $30, and one side of it's cool, the other side of it's warm. Okay. If you're looking for that, and that thing is a lifesaver.
Huh?
So maybe Jose Abreu should have been wearing one of those little half circle neck pillows when he was on the plane, and then he wouldn't. Or excuse me, not Jose Abreu. Christian Javier should have been wearing that.
I mean, like, don't you? If you're on that fancy of a plane,
maybe it's not that fancy of a plane. Maybe
you're saying Jim Crane's cheap and he's hurting his players.
I would never say that. Jim Crane would never cheap out. He has the third highest payroll in baseball. Come on, come on. But
third highest margarita prices too.
They're number one. Let's be honest. I don't think many ballparks have margaritas though. So at the very least, there's that. The thing with a story like this is that all baseball injuries are fascinating to me. It really feels like this is the one sport where weird things happen to players and you never quite get to the bottom of it. And I really want to get to the bottom of this story because I'm sure that whatever had Christian Javier scratched is something completely ridiculous. Like he fell asleep. What if it was this? What if it was he sleeps on his stomach and his arm like went underneath the pillow or something like that?
That's
he woke
tough.
Up, but there was no circulation, and his neck was feeling all funky afterwards.
Yeah, I could see that. Or just, do you ever, like, fall asleep on the plane, but you just kind of, like, hang your neck?
Yeah, a lot.
That's the worst.
But that's why you get the neck pillow, because then you're kind of...
It stops that?
It, a little bit. Not a lot, but it stops it a little bit. Yeah.
What do you think about the people who, like, put down the tray? Here's the people who... Then they put the
those
neck pillow down.
Those people are psychopaths.
And then asleep. They just like sleep head first.
Yeah, like you did in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those people are psychopaths.
Crazy.
It's a crazy move.
Like, I don't understand that at all. Have you ever fallen asleep on the aisle seat and gotten your head hit? Or like a leg hit by the drink
cart?
Yes. Oh, leg.
Times.
Yes.
Yeah. Never my head, but like my leg got taken out once because I let it flip out of there a little bit.
I always go aisle and I always put my leg in the aisle. I can stretch out a little bit.
I prefer the window.
Well, yeah, you can fit in the window. No offense.
Well, because I'm small.
Well, yeah, you're not gonna feel super cramped in the window.
I mean,
I feel claustrophobic in the window seat.
I feel claustrophobic on planes, no matter where I sit.
Middle seat, I don't feel bad. Aisle, I don't feel bad. Window seat, I feel claustrophobic.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but
I understand.
That's just the way it is.
936. Abreu should have gave Javier his neck pillow. That way, he could take the injury himself.
When are they going to put Jose Abreu on the injured list for his confidence hurt?
Injured list. Why? Ego.
I mean.
Ability to hit baseball.
Would you even mind if they did that to you?
No.
If you're Abreu at this point, like you might need to go.
Are you convinced he had a back injury last year and that's why he was on the injured list? Or do you think that it was a confidence thing?
Last year when he was hurt? And when he missed time, I think he was hurt.
Okay.
I think he was hurt, but this time around, I mean, you have to do something drastic
Cut him.
Well, they're not going to cut him.
I know.
So you got to do something else that's drastic. And I feel like giving him time away would help. Saying that there is an injury here, I don't know how many people would believe it, but I think you got to do something here so that he has some sort of shield against all of the criticism right now. Like, he's getting the brunt of everything. They've done all they can to defend him with the back of the baseball card references. So at some point, you got to do something differently than just making him a part of a platoon first baseman group.
Yeah, and honestly, I think just sitting him the way that they're having to do now with a Singleton getting more and more games is honestly just making it worse. I would imagine.
Definitely is. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get better by not playing. Like, the only way he gets better is if he actually is out there and he plays.
Yeah.
But you can't play him. He's not playing well enough.
Yeah, I don't think he's fixable. I have way more confidence that the Astros will win the World Series this year than Jose Abreu will hit above 250 at some point. Like, he looks lost. He looks so lost. Offensively, defensively, mentally, it's not there anymore. And I know they won't cut him, and a different organization probably would, and they should. This is like what I give Steve Ballmer credit for. Not Steve Ballmer, whoever owns the New York Mets now. Like, what he did last year, he spent all this money on Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander. It was a complete disaster, so he traded him, and he ate their contracts. Like, that's what it would take to get rid of Jose Abreu at this point, is find a team that just wants – honestly, you would need the Chicago White Sox to take him at this point, and you pay his contract, and he goes back there for like a swan song while they're the worst team in baseball. But besides that, he's on your team. All right, the NFL draft, it's on Thursday. That's when it officially begins at 2:30. We will do our unintentionally erotic big board. We'll look at running backs. But next, what are you most curious about or intrigued by? Which team for the 2024 season outside of the Houston Texans? That's next here on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. We were there last week, and it was a good time, unlike going downtown to watch the baseball team. So, I mean, if you're going to go watch the baseball team, you want to feel a little bit, I think, excited going into the park. So why not stop at the Highway Cantina before you go in? They've got incredible tall Texan margaritas. They're $9.75. They're really good. You got to have them for yourself to just see how good. But also, I mean, this is a fantastic Tex-Mex spot. Right smack in the middle of East Downtown. It's right by all of the arenas. If you work downtown, I mean, this is a fantastic spot to do a happy hour, to go take the boss out for a big meeting, impress him along the way. Wood-fired oysters, mesquite sausage, plus your Tex-Mex classics. Chicken fajitas. Their chicken fajitas are so good. Beef fajita, whatever you want. The Highway Cantina has it, and it's in a fantastic location right on St. Emmanuel. Highway Cantina. Tell them Paul Gallant sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So yesterday, I'm going to read a tweet here first. There's a thread of tweets. I'm just going to read the first one. At Gallant says on Twitter, at what point is a, quote, a significant difference between the 22 and 23 Astros going to be something that's not scoffed at by the baseball knowers? I ask because at this point, what's a legit reason for the slow start? The same things are happening every game. That was responded to by Jeremy Booth. He said there are answers, but the people that keep screaming at the sky don't really want them. Well, Jeremy will be on the program tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
He's going to share those answers.
He's going to share those answers. Because honestly, maybe he has them because I don't have them. Listen, I want to argue with him tomorrow, and we're going to argue about the Jordan Alvarez stuff because of the lineup. But at this point, he looks right.
You got to stand your ground, like, though. You gotta defend the wall of your take.
Yeah, I do. But
and I'm just gonna throw gasoline.
But the
on
hard
it.
Part is that like the Astros are making it impossible. They're making it impossible for me to defend myself.
Ye of little faith. You've gotten rid of your faith already, Joe.
Yeah.
So you're a proud papa. You're married and you've lost your faith in the one thing.
I just wish they had gave me something to, like, really.
He's already eliminated him from wild card contention, but not division contention.
Unbelievable. Like, Joe is already quitting on the Astros as a wild card team in 2024.
Yeah, I wish there was a reason to argue with him about that.
No, you got to find it.
No, I assume at this point he's going to move on from the lineup construction, because if he still is, we're going to argue about that, because if that's the only reason why you think the Houston Astros are losing, then, like, I don't know what you're watching.
Ooh, okay, there it is.
Well, but I can't imagine he still feels that
way. I'm just going to go and be like, hey, Jer Bear, he called you a clown.
You can't call him Jer Bear.
Yeah, I can. We're friends.
Yeah, but you already call him our Jeremy Jer Bear.
I can call any Jeremy.
I don't think you can have two Jer Bears.
He's done it before. We're talking about a different Jeremy, and he also called him Jeremy.
I call all Jer Bear. Okay. My dad's name, Gary. I call Gary Bear every now and then.
You too?
Yeah.
You just put Bear?
So when I'm trying to annoy him.
If the first name rhymes with Bear, then yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
Or the first half of the first name.
Yeah, like as long as any part of the name, whether it's full, half, whatever, is with Bear, then you just.
Because some people get mad when you say that. So you can call him Clown. I'll call him Jer Bear, and we'll see what happens.
Can't wait. I'll call him Sir.
You should call him Sir.
That would be funny. You think he would get more upset if I called him Clown?
You called him Sir and not a clown?
Or Sean called him Sir.
You've already called him Clown. You have to, you got to say Clown. You called him Clown.
Yeah, I regret that one.
You got to say it.
You're going to bring it up.
That was keyboard gangster Joe George.
That was verbal gangster.
That was
with his chest.
That was he's not here.
Yeah,
he's a clown.
Yeah. No, it was
yeah,
the,
I'm gonna
he's
regret
not in
that
the room.
One. I'm going to regret that one.
Yeah, he's a big guy, too.
Damn.
He used to play.
He's really big.
That sucks.
He's like 6'4". Oh yeah,
dude, that's not good. I gotta scout.
Yeah, he's gonna break you.
I don't even know how he's gonna fit in the.
Yeah,
Twitch
I got people.
Frame.
Honestly, I think it'll be better for the. For the
I got
video
people walking by me yelling at me about stuff for no reason, like nonsense.
If he just stood over you for the entire
oh,
thing,
oh, that would be so funny.
I mean, it won't be hard.
He might be able to sit over you.
Yeah. I think... Even with the chairs of this studio, which weirdly are all very low to the ground, I think he's gonna be looking pretty high on that camera.
Can't wait.
I'm just gonna throw gas the whole time. I'm not even gonna provide any value to the conversation. I'm just gonna turn
it throw into gas
an absolute bleep show.
Well, I'm curious what he's gonna say, because if there is any logical reason, I'm fascinated.
Well, Pumpkin, you just don't know ball.
At this point, I agree.
None of us know ball anymore. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I'm assuming I'm going to try to force him to just tell the truth that he hates Joe Espada. Because that's really what...
But he might not even hate Joe Espada. There are people like me that are like the people that thought Joe Espada was going to be so much better. Those people were weirdly militant about that.
Yeah, the dusty hate last year was over the top. And
to think that things would be dramatically different with a different manager is crazy. It's always about the actual players. And yeah, Yonder Diaz is playing more. Great. How many more wins does that result in again?
Yeah.
Listen, in a sport where there's, nine batters in a lineup, like there's a reason that guys like Mike Trout aren't winning, making the playoffs or winning the World Series, but they're winning MVPs. One bat in the lineup isn't changing things. Yiner Diaz batting better in that series against the Rangers wasn't going to stop the horrendous starts that we saw from Framber Valdez and Christian Javier, especially the second time around for both of them. That's something that people seem to believe that, okay, Joe Espada merely putting Yiner Diaz in the lineup more was going to result in more victories. It's like, no, generally at the end of the year, like a great player in baseball, what's their wins above replacement, like 5-6 or something like that? One player does not make that much of a difference in the day-to-day winning and losing of a team.
I thought I saw this by the way, just the thinking of war wins above replacement, Jose Abreu is on pace for a -7.7 Fangraphs war. Jeremy Branham tweeted this out.
Wait a second. -7.7?
That's what he's on pace for? That would be an MLB record.
What is it now?
-4 from some guy named Jim Levy in 1938.
Okay.
It's like the Ozzie Guillen thing. It's just hard to play that much and stink that badly.
If your war is that, does that mean you cost the team 7 games?
Yeah,
it was over a replacement player.
Yeah,
which is like a random, like basically a random first base.
Yeah, and now there's these two. There's two different websites. Brandon threw this out. That's FanGraph. His baseball reference one is on pace to be -9.9. They're saying he's a -10-win player. He's on pace to be that this year.
For reference,
holy crap!
If you have like a positive 9 or 10 win or 9 or 10 WAR, you're like a no doubt about it MVP candidate. So he's the opposite of he is as good as Shohei Ohtani. That's how bad he is.
Yeah, that's incredible,
man.
That's so incredible that you can be on pace to be that bad. Because that's collected. Like that's the offense and the defense. It's just. That's so bad. All right, we'll get to the NFL stuff. We'll save that for tomorrow. Jeremy Booth, like I said, he'll join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock in studio,
I believe. In studio.
So that'll be fun. That'll be interesting to hear his take, the outside perspective, all the negatives that are going on with the Houston Astros. But when we get back, it's time to continue building our big board. I think we have about 10 players on it right now as we get ready for the NFL draft, and the Texans are on the clock for the first time on Friday night, probably around about 6:45 when Paul Dell and myself will be doing our draft show. So our big board... We continue to build it next on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You know Lance Zierlein for his mock drafts.
This is where the problems start in my hometown. I pass on CJ Stroud.
But have you ever read his scouting reports?
Look at the body. Look at that bubble butt. That power generator's right there.
We're going to pick who the Texans should draft entirely based on these things he actually wrote.
A little stiff in the hip. Ooh, they fall down hard and long.
And now, our unintentionally erotic big board.
All right, let's build on our big board. We've looked at cornerback.
Yep.
Defensive tackle.
Yep.
Safety.
Correct. We have 4 corners, 2 defensive tackles,
okay,
and 3 safeties on the board. Now we move to a position we agreed to look at on Friday's show. Running back. Here's how it works in case you guys are new to this. I am reading Lance Zierlein's draft profiles from NFL.com, but I am only reading the parts that could be interpreted as sexual. And as someone who is a bit of a pervert, it was not hard for me to find many examples of this.
Mm-hmm.
Running back, a different position, different skill sets that are being looked for. But let's start off with prospect number 1. Are you passing or smashing? Prospect 1 has the wiggle and know-how in tight quarters.
Okay. Love that.
Good burst, but sometimes a little hesitant to punch the gas between the tackles. Flows through lanes. Excellent bend. Excellent quickness. Slick feet.
Mm. Oh.
But power into and through contact. Just average.
Mm. I think I know who this is, and I might have to recuse myself.
Oh.
Hmm.
Wow. Just based off of what I said right there.
You think that's Jonathan Brooks?
I think it's Jonathan Brooks.
It is Jonathan Brooks, running back out of Texas.
I've watched him carry the ball a couple times.
Smash. We smashed.
Are you smashing this?
Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, I'll smash Jonathan Brooks.
Okay, Brooks on the board. Man, we got a lot of Texas guys on this board.
His knees are good, right? Is it an ACL?
He tore his ACL in early November.
Okay.
Who hasn't torn an
ACL?
Fine.
He'll be good.
Nowadays, that's like, okay.
Yeah, cool. Like, duh.
You're fine. Prospect 2. Explosive.
Okay.
Good size.
Love that.
In fact, he's so explosive. He explodes 25.4% of the time.
Wow.
Probably want to do more than that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like
100%. That seems low.
Natural sticky hands.
Okay.
Because of all the exploding.
25% of the time.
That is prospect number 2.
That's all we got?
He doesn't trust his eyes either, but...
Oh, man. Oh, he's got bad taste?
Might have bad taste.
Yeah.
Dude, if you don't trust your eyes...
But he might know he has bad taste. That's why he doesn't trust his eyes.
Oh, okay.
That's why he goes home and ends up with sticky hands all the time. I'm smashing.
Because of your last comment, I pass. I was fine until Sean put two and two together, and now I'm out. Pass. Smash or pass?
All right. Prospect number three.
Wait, so we pass?
Wait.
You have to decide.
I'm passing.
Who was it?
That was Jalen Wright from Tennessee.
Damn. I like him.
Prospect three. Hang on. Composing myself. Good. Shut up.
Sorry.
Good knee bent.
Okay.
Takes too long to process and hit holes.
Mm, don't love that.
Above average bend. Slides, dips, and cuts to find smaller openings. What? It's just an unintentionally erotic board. This is just what Lance Zierlein wrote on NFL.com.
I feel like there's too much negative here, I feel like.
Yeah,
too average.
I pass, but yeah pass. I didn't know that Lance just writes smut, basically.
Yeah, you do now.
All right.
Did you say smash pass?
We passed.
Okay, that's Florida State running back Trey Benson.
Okay.
All right. Flashes on tape.
Okay.
Old school.
It's like Talladega from this weekend.
Did someone flash a Talladega?
Dude, apparently, like, it's like a...
There's like a poll that was out
dude,
there.
Dude, apparently it's like Mardi Gras before it, like, kicks off.
So...
Like the night
like
before.
It looks like an insane party.
I'll send you the video, Paul.
Flashing is just bajongas, right?
No, not in this video.
It started up top.
Was there
a party move downstairs?
Oh, wow.
Like, it looks like good time.
For girls or for guys?
Girls,
ladies.
So, okay, wow.
Talladega looks like a good time.
Yeah, it moved up.
That's all I know.
It moved up the power rankings of events I should go to.
Yeah, it's officially past the Masters.
Okay. So it's like Waste Management Open of the NASCAR?
Yeah.
I think it's just NASCAR of NASCAR.
Oh, okay. Just another.
It's just the biggest party in NASCAR.
So flashes on tape, this prospect number four does.
Okay.
Slightly below average vision. Mm. Wide base. I don't know what this means, but I hope Lance writes this a lot more. Lacks sand in his pants. I have never seen that.
That means light?
I think that means he's, light or fast.
No ass?
Yeah, because yeah. I know, like, light in the shorts normally means, like, that's you get pushed around.
No sand in the pants.
Yeah, I think that's what that is.
Specifically, because I copied and pasted this, lacks sand in his pants to protect his quarterback in blitz pickup.
Can't block.
Okay, yeah, so he gets pushed back.
So not much of an ass.
Yeah.
We smashed your pass.
I need some more sand in your ass. I'm going to pass.
Oh, man.
I'm passing, too.
Yeah, we're passing by Blake Corum.
Marshawn Lynch.
Oh.
Excuse me. Not Marshawn.
Marshawn
Sorry,
Lloyd.
Marshawn.
I was like, time out. Like, what just
Marshawn
happened?
Marshawn Lloyd. Yeah,
Marshawn Lynch Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, with this draft, you never know. There's like six NFL kids in this draft.
That's true.
There's Jeremiah Trotter, Marvin Harrison, Jerry Rice's kid.
Prospect five. Bendy.
Okay.
Rhythmic. Mm. Loose hips.
Mm.
Wide.
This is Blake.
Glides with consistent pace and processing.
That's good.
Finds his pathways. Mm. Long strides.
Smash.
Smashing the hell out of
him. No doubt. Smash. Super smash.
Is this Blake Corum?
No, this is
Damn
Tyrone
it.
Tracy Jr. from
Who?
Purdue.
Oh, from Purdue. He was talking this guy up a couple weeks ago.
What was his name?
Tyrone Tracy.
Tyrone Tracy Jr.
Jr.
Okay.
In case you're wondering.
Who's seen?
Not his dad.
Last profile, and no Blake Corum on this one.
Oh, interesting.
Joe.
He kept it PG when he was writing Blake Corum's profile.
This one's quick. Finishes with thud. Hip tightness. Not as much erotica in this one. Hmm. Unless you want to say his game in Florida looked like teaching tape.
Like, what, spring
and
break?
Slow and go pacing.
Slow and go pacing.
Soft hands. Has the ability to shake.
Okay.
Lacks desired flow speed.
No desire flow speed? Oh.
It's not widening.
I was on the fence. Lack of desire for flow speed.
Yeah, I'm passing on
pass.
This.
Right,
that's
pass.
Ray Davis from Kentucky. And there you go.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
All right.
So,
damn, only two running backs.
Tyrone Tracy, we're in.
and
Jonathan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks were in.
So this is where I wonder what's next for us.
Well, we didn't have quorum, so we didn't pass on quorum.
No, I meant for a position.
Oh, I think even for running back on Friday. Never
mind. I'm trying to think because I guess we could go. I would say this is where you get like depth more. Maybe interior offensive line. Do they need a tight end? Like, they only have Schultz and Brevin Jordan on the roster, I believe, at this point. So, just like running back, there's only two tight ends.
I would think the tight end is going to have the most ammunition.
Yeah.
It's as, like, physical as it gets. Like, where they're just writing about the, like, physical features.
But
they gave Schultz a contract.
This is probably someone that they're not drafting, like, on Friday. Or, yeah, on Friday. It might be more of a Saturday draft pick.
I think interior offensive line.
Interior offensive line?
I think interior offensive line.
What'd y'all do on Friday?
We did safety on Friday.
Okay, yeah.
So we've done corner, we've done defensive tackle, we've done and we've done running back. So now interior offensive line. Yes, safety too.
Maybe we did three defense last week, three offense this week. And then we'll start to build our
ultimate. We could do tight end tomorrow or on Wednesday.
Yeah.
When we're in
Do we want to consider safety? I saw more nonsense this weekend talking about getting CJ Stroud weapons.
Finally.
Wait, do we want to do safety?
I mean, a wide receiver.
Just to upset Paul, yes.
Fine. We'll
We'll
do it on Thursday. For all you little
you
little greedy bastards who play too much fantasy football.
And then Friday, we combine the list.
Honestly, if the Astros keep playing like this, it might be our entire show on Friday. From start to finish. Maybe. It's figuring out what's
radio.
The order of our big board.
Ironically. Texans FM radio.
Oh, and we have the first round to recap.
That's true.
What was the biggest move that threatens the Texans?
You know, I'd rather talk about mock drafts than the Astros right now. I never thought I'd say that.
Wow. Okay. Well,
okay. All right.
Tomorrow, tune in.
Astros power rankings right now. Would you rather talk about the Astros or the NFL draft or the NBA playoffs? What's your order of the three?
I mean, I'd love to talk about the NBA playoffs, but I realize no one in our audience cares
what about
right now.
College football spring games.
Tough weekend, too. Oh,
I know you and I are in on
I got boots on the ground from Austin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All above the Astros right now?
Everything is above the Astros right now. They're not worthy of my time. But I watch them because I'm obligated to, because it's my job. But they are not worthy of anyone's time right now. They're a waste of time. They can't hit. They can't score. They can't get off to good starts. They can't relieve. They can't do bleep. They can't do diddly poo.
All right, we'll talk about...
You know what I think about the Astros right now? That's what I think of them.
Unprofessional.
Oh, yeah, come on.
That's what they are.
Unprofessional. All right, what is going on in the world? I know Paul said not everyone cares. But I care. Sean cares. Paul cares. This is our show. So we'll talk a little about the NBA playoffs before we get into garbage time next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
NBA playoffs are underway.
A lot of blowouts.
Yeah, a lot of blowouts. Not a lot of great basketball.
The first round does kind of suck. It always has. The play-in tournament was a nice little wrinkle, but this round usually you see, especially the first game of the series, lots of people are going to have hot takes after the first game, but generally the first round is a bit of a bummer, and that they expanded it to seven games has sort of taken away the possibility of crazy things happening in the first round. Obviously, every now and then you're going to have a team lose to an 8 seed or something like that, but it's very rare that it happens.
Yeah, I mean, like the Pelicans obviously gave the Thunder a pretty good game. They only lost by 2 in the first round without Zion. That's the other thing about this start, too. So yesterday, you were without Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis,
and Zion.
And those were your four games yesterday. Like, they're like, this just kind of sucks.
Right.
But those teams went, what, 2-2?
Yeah, they went 2-2. Well, because Dame Time played basketball for the first time this year.
Yeah.
It was
right on time.
Incredible. Like, that's...
Yeah, he was really good.
That's Damian Lillard. But it's almost to the point where, like, it's Like, that's what he looks like without Giannis. It's like, it was like Portland Dame Lillard again. But it was fun.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. I got a kick out of the Sixers blowing a huge lead on the Knicks at halftime, too. The Sixers just such choking dogs in the playoffs. It makes me happy to see Philadelphia suffer on that front. And, yeah, I'm very thankful as a Celtics fan that there is no Jimmy Butler out there. I would not feel good about this series at all if Jimmy Butler was playing for Miami.
Because Miami – or because Boston went up, like, 17-4 or something very fast. And then, like, we kind of stopped watching the game, and then we looked back, and it was, like, a 7-point game. And we're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What happened? And then the Celtics just rolled them.
They smoked them. And right, it was funny at the end. It was like a 15-point game and the broadcast was like, "Oh, it's actually close."
Yeah,
like, there's 3 minutes left. Can we calm down? Obviously the Celtics have blown big leads like that against Miami almost.
Yeah, game 7 2 years ago.
Oh my God, that was the most stressful thing I've ever seen with my eyes.
I remember the day after you're like, "I feel like we lost."
I did. I feel like they made it to the finals.
We're going to they won a game to make the finals and you're like that felt terrible.
That was the worst. I've never enjoyed a victory less than that one.
Well, game 7s are like the most stressful thing that can ever happen in sports.
But especially when you're up like 10 points with 2 minutes left and they blow it.
And there's a shot in the air to win it.
Yeah, they missed a shot in the air to win it. I was so quiet. I was there with the person that I was having fun with at the time, trying not to embarrass myself, and I did a very poor job.
Dude, I really don't enjoy watching games with like that matter with my wife.
Really?
Ever. I don't like it.
Oh, wow. You sexist pig.
No, I just, because I want to.
Why don't you like it?
I want to, like, I don't want to be myself. I want to, like, scream at things.
Well, you can scream at things.
I don't know. Like, the first time we really watched a game together was the double doink.
Oh. Oh, for those who don't know, Joe's a Bears fan. That is a brutal first experience.
When he hit it on both crossbars.
So what was your first reaction?
Dude, I was like inside, I was like raging.
You kept it all inside?
I just sat there in silence.
Good
I was
for you.
Like, if I talk, I'm going to lose my mind.
See, you're more mature than me.
Oh,
that's impressive.
But like from that moment on, I was like, I don't really want to do this again. Like if there's an important game, like go to your friend's house. Or I'm going to go out.
The tuck rule game? When I was 12 or 13 years old, at one point during the game when it wasn't going so well, my mom said something, and I said, "You need to get out of this room!" And she said, like, "You're going to be grounded for that." And I was like, "Don't care! Just get out!" And then they won. That was before the tuck rule thing happened.
Oh, okay.
But it was not going well. Like they couldn't do anything, and it was like you're losing to a team from California in the snow. Like
that's
it's the
tough.
Most beta thing possible.
Yeah.
All but right. Then they came back.
It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So we touched on this earlier because Joe saw it on Twitter, but this is just hilarious. I like it when a Yankee is the victim of injustice. And we got that today at a baseball game where an umpire thought that Aaron Boone said something when in reality a fan had said it.
Yes.
And ejected him. Joe, I really want this umpire to also be Angel Hernandez.
I don't think it was.
I don't think it was either.
I think we would have known.
Immediately.
Yeah. We would have known immediately.
I think it was a larger man.
Oh.
Man. So I don't think that was Angel Hernandez. But yeah, this is, it's very funny watching the video because Aaron Boone is very clearly just like looking straight ahead, just like listening. And then all of a sudden he just gets thrown out. And I have no idea. We were asking this question like during the break. Like if they realize that, if they can undo it. Like, can you undo?
Probably not.
A throwout.
Yeah, because like all he can say is like, "I swear that wasn't me." And it's like, you need to go to replay to like confirm it.
That would be awesome.
I love that the umpire said, "I don't care who said it, you're gone."
Yeah.
Hey, it was at Yankee Stadium, right?
It was.
Please tell me it was at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
So he's the manager of the team. That extends to all the fans because the fans are part of the team. Keep your team in line.
Dude, it's so funny watching there's this I'm looking at this new angle for like, it's between the catcher and the umpire. You can see this fan in blue. Just all of a sudden, he just opens his mouth super wide and starts screaming.
I like it.
And as soon as he's done, the umpire turns and throws him out. So it's so very clearly one fan. And then
that fan
he got it wrong.
That fan probably had a split second where he's like, did I just get thrown out of this game? Oh, dude, no. Is Aaron Boone good?
Umpire should be fired.
You know who had to finish that game as manager of the New York Yankees?
Oh, maybe the Astros would be better off if Brad Ausmus.
I was about to ask that question. It was Brad Ausmus who finishes the game
imagine
as manager
Bagwell,
of the Yankees.
Bagwell, Biggio, and Ausmus.
No, because the Sacramento, Las Vegas, Oakland A's beat the Yankees. So I would say Brad Ausmus, 0-1.
Oh.
So.
Well, that's still better than Joe Espada. That's one game under 500. No. Where
zero
Joe
Espada
is nine games under 500.
Eight games.
Oh, yeah, it's eight.
Because he got one win last year.
Oh, that's true. Big
maybe it's even
win.
Less. Maybe Joe Espada is closer to 500
but
than we think.
Dusty gets that win. He got the save.
It's true.
He got the save. For that one.
He came in to bring in John Singleton.
Yep, it worked. Now
wait,
he does
no.
it all the time.
I guess he would have gotten the win there. Dusty Baker threw a complete game.
Yeah. Mm. Quality start.
Quality. Check that. Yes, quality.
Good call.
Obviously wasn't a complete game. I saw this from Sean on Twitter.
What?
He retweeted a story coming out of China. And I guess in China now, if you go to the bathroom, the toilets can determine if you're healthy or not based
okay.
off of your urine.
Like, this is like Tom Herman?
Exactly like Tom Herman.
Okay.
Who had the pee scale. You want to always have clear pee. You don't want it to be colored. You don't want it to be radioactive. You don't want it to be super yellow. You want it to be clear. Clear like water. And now you know. China has that.
Yeah. Okay, so if it wasn't the government that did that, I'd be interested. Just if to know how healthy your urine is. Just
no, can't you just tell? Like,
it would be terrible, though, if you're going to the bathroom and it's like, you have cancer.
Yeah,
wouldn't you want to know?
I would want to know, but
you
it would
catch
be
catch it early.
To find it like while I'm peeing into a toilet, that would be kind of depressing.
Yeah, that's a tough spot
well,
to find
I imagine
out.
I can't imagine it'll be, you have cancer. It'll well, be like, please, like
hey, please
see a doctor.
If you're looking for a screening, it would cost you less than $3 while peeing into this robo-toilet.
Oh, it costs money?
It does cost money.
Maybe every once in a while.
It's not quite free healthcare, but it's, hey, yeah,
it's like the touch tunes at a bar. You can just, let me just see. Oh, kidney failure. Oh.
Sean did send me the video of what was going on in
Talladega.
It's pretty neat.
It just looks like a grand old party.
I think it really looks family friendly.
Yeah.
For trying to start a family.
Yeah.
And maybe, nothing more.
But maybe not intentionally trying.
Just for creating kids.
For
not
unintentionally
bringing kids.
Starting a family.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is how.
That seems like a great spot to do it.
This is how you end up with a daughter named Reba Jr. You're going to end up hicking up with some other Southerner down there, and you're going to name her after some country stars.
True.
Dolly Reba. Would.
Or Dale.
Mm. Yeah. Boy. Yeah. Dale Jr.
I like that. Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon Mapes.
I was going to say, Jeff Gordon Gallant.
They all hate Jeff Gordon in the South.
Why? Is he not Southy enough
much,
for them?
Much
he's
like,
from California.
Much like Paul Gallant, there once was a rumor in NASCAR about Jeff Gordon's... And it was completely unfounded about what way he leans.
He needs to hold a press conference like Mike Piazza.
That's so crazy that he had to do that.
I can't believe Mike Piazza did
classic
that.
Classic early 2000s.
I was listening to it. I was watching this like stupid Barstool trivia show, and they brought up Mike Piazza, and they were like, yeah, he had a press conference one to say he was straight. And I was like, I forgot that happened. All right. That
we should all do that.
That does it for us. Coming up next, I'm going to get ripped on by Joel Blank because I forgot that he works and golfs. And at the same time.
What a close to the show, Joe.
I don't know. I got yelled at during the break.
He did.
All right. That does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. The Killer Bees with Joel, Jeremy, and Brian up next. Goodbye.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.